If you have your bulletin, now you've noticed already the sermon title is Conversion Demands Commitment. Look in the book of Acts with me, please, to chapter number 22. Acts 22, and we're going to look at verses 14 and verse 15. Acts 22, verse 14 and verse 15. Here you find Ananias coming unto the Apostle Paul. And he says in verse 14 of chapter 22 of Acts, he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." If you recall, when Paul the Apostle, when Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and he was struck down from his beast with a bright, shining light, brighter than midday, there were two questions that Paul asked the Lord Jesus. The first question was, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the second question that he asked was, "What will thou have me to do?" Now, those two questions form the very basis of the rest of the life of the Apostle Paul. And do you know those same two questions are just as important for us today as they were for the Apostle Paul in that day? The first question to every one of us is, "Who is the Lord?" The second question is, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" That should formulate the very basis for the rest of our life. Paul was at least inquisitive. He wanted to know who the one was that had struck him down from that beast. He wanted to know who that one was he had been persecuting. And he wanted also to know, let the Lord know, but the Lord already knew, that Paul was ready to do the will of the one who had spoken to him from heaven. Paul's association and our association with the Lord, who he is and how we should serve him, should go with us as it did the Apostle Paul the rest of our lives. These two questions are the basis, they're the secret to a joyous life, a life of peace, a life of happiness, a life of tranquility, and a life of service. All this is wrapped up in these two questions. What do these two questions reveal to us? What did they reveal to Paul? What do they reveal to us today? Let's just see. There's some truths that are revealed here in these verses that I read. Number one truth is this: they reveal the divine purpose of God for every single one of us. Look at verse 14. "And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will." Did you see that? God chose Paul to know the will of God. Listen to me, beloved. If you're saved with the grace of God, if you're not even saved, listen still. God has chosen us to know his will. I do not know, couldn't even recount the times over the many 40-some years that I've been a pastor, that I've had people come to me, "Pastor, I just don't know what the will of God is in this. I don't know God's will." Listen, God wants you to know his will. That's the first thing, and that's the last thing God has for you. His purpose for you is to know his will. Even in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, before Jesus came here in the flesh, it's written of Jesus in the Psalms, "I come to do thy will, O my God." And everybody knows the model prayer. And in the model prayer it says, "Thy will be done." And we know Jesus prayed in John 17, the great high priestly prayer. And Jesus prayed, he said, I will that they be with me where I am. Even in our sanctification, it says, I will. This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. In our salvation, it's God's will. God wills. God does not will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved, listen to me. You'll never know one thing about sanctification till you know God's will in justification. Justification is the gateway by which sanctification takes place. A lot of folks have got this backward. They think sanctification brings justification. Never has, never will. Justification always brings and involves later sanctification in our life. To know God's will brings us dignity to our life, brings us power, brings us glory. All our lives involves the will of God. God's purpose then for us, God's purpose for you, God's purpose for me, God's purpose for Paul is to know God's will. Do you think Paul was looking for God's will when he went through the Damascus Road, headed to arrest and imprison, even execute Christians? No. Paul thought he knew God's will, but Paul was on the wrong track. A lot of folks today think they know God's will too, but they're also, like Paul, on the wrong track. God wants us to know His will. He thought he was doing what God would be pleased with, but all the time he was persecuting God's children. Sort of like it was in the Old Testament with old Naaman. You know the story how he came to the prophet with leprosy. And the prophet sent his messenger out and said, you tell him to go over there and wash seven times in old muddy Jordan. And Naaman got kind of offended when he was told, just go wash in Jordan. You know what he said? He said, well, I thought that at least he'd tell me some great miracle he'd perform, or he'd come out here and he'd lay hands on me, or he'd do something. He said, I thought that was his problem. I thought. That's where we get into trouble too, isn't it? When I think, or I thought. A lot of folks think, well, I thought. I really didn't think that the Christian life is this restrictive. I didn't realize that trying to live a holy life is this demanding. I thought, I thought, I thought. That's the problem. We've got to know God's will. Well, Christianity is a demanding life. Living a holy life is very restrictive, and you have to live a holy life. Without holiness, the Bible says, you'll not see God. That's exactly what it says. Well, so we need to know, first of all, God's purpose for our lives, God's purpose for your life and for mine is to know the will of God. But look what else it says in this verse to Paul. God, he said, has chosen thee that thou shouldest know His will. And then he says, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. See the just one, the righteous one, and hear his voice. Paul was going to have a personal contact with the just one, the holy one, the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He would see the Lord Jesus, and he would hear the Lord Jesus. The sight of Jesus did everything to the Apostle Paul that he never left him the rest of his life. If you could just see Jesus. Now I know you're not going to see him physically. I understand that. But I know you can see him. Do you know how I know you can see him? I've seen him. Do you know how I've seen him? Through the pages of this book. One of the very Beatitudes says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall do what? See God. You get your heart right, get your life pure, start living a holy life, live like you're supposed to, and you can see God. He said, Paul, you're going to see him. The righteous one. But no, the Bible says, preacher, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, yes, there was one. Jesus was the righteous one, the only righteous one. But while he walked on the face of this earth, the Jews called him unrighteous. They hated him. They eventually caused the execution of our Lord Jesus Christ. They called him unrighteous. But let me share something with you. If Jesus was not righteous, and we know that God raised him from the dead, he could not have gone back to the Father in heaven had he not been totally righteous, could he? And did he not go back to the Lord in heaven? Sure he did. That means he was the righteous one. I'll tell you this, Paul was convinced that Jesus was the righteous one. And his personal contact with Jesus changed his life forever. So you see the purpose of God to know His will. And the plan for God is to see Jesus. And then it says also, hear His voice. The sight of Jesus purifies us. The sight of Jesus sanctifies us. It qualifies us. And it'll glorify us one day. Well, I want to ask you a personal question. I mean for it to be personal. Have you ever seen Jesus? If you never have, maybe today, while you're here in this place, you'll see Him in justification of your sins in the past. Or you'll see Him today in conviction of your sin-stained life in the present. So you see, God's will is that you know His will. That's His purpose. God's plan is that you'll see the just one, the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Himself. But then He says, not only, Paul, it was God's will for you to see Him, but that you should hear His voice. Did you get that? Verse 14, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of His mouth. Do you think Paul expected to hear from Jesus? No. Do you think Paul expected to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to him personally and saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Do you think Paul expected this? Well, no, he didn't. He didn't expect this. But he heard the voice of the one who had cast him off his beast. He saw the one who asked him that question, why do you persecute me, Saul? He heard the voice. He saw the just and holy one, and he knew the will of God for his life. Like Paul, beloved, listen, we need to hear the voice of God. How long has it been, or have you ever heard the voice of God? He will not speak to you audibly like He did, Paul. I don't expect that. But He speaks to us loudly, and He speaks to us clearly from the pages of this blessed book through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life and in mine. He also speaks to us, and we hear Him through tsunamis, through hurricanes, through all kinds of situations in the world today. He's screaming to the world, and nobody's listening. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to see the just one, the holy one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I need to come into personal contact with Him just like Paul did. You've got to hear the voice to have the victory. You've got to have the vision of Him to have the victory in your life. You've got to come face to face personally with Jesus Christ. If there's never been a time in your life when you can go back and you can pinpoint the time when you had a face-to-face spiritual confrontation with the Lord Jesus and gave your heart and life to Him, you better go back. If you've never had that experience, you better have it. Amen. You need it. Yes. Every one of us needs it. You'll only hear His voice by the power of the Holy Spirit of God who speaks to us from the Word. If we fail to see the vision of Jesus, and if you fail to hear the voice of Jesus in all things in life, I said earlier, we're most miserable. I said there's some things this passage reveals to us. It reveals the divine purpose of God. It reveals the divine plan of God for us to see Him and hear Him. But there's more to this verse. Listen, verse 15. For thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. The third thing I see this passage revealing to us is the divine project of God. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And God has included you. If you're one of His children, He's included you already in His project. He said to Paul, Paul, you're going to be His witness to all men. So the purpose and the plan of God is to include you in His project for witnessing to Him. We're told to be, now hear me well, we're told to be witnesses, not judges.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? There's not but one judge, and it's not you, and it's not me, it's Jesus. We're called to be witnesses, not judges. Now Paul was trying to be a judge. When he had those warrants, we would say, that those letters, and going to Damascus to enslave Christians and execute them, he thought he was on the right track. He had judged them as a scum of the earth. But I want you to see what happens when you try to be a judge. Paul tried to be a judge and made a disaster of everything he tried. So the same truth holds for you and I. You and I start trying to judge somebody or be a judge, then you're going to make a disaster of whatever it is you're trying to get involved in. All God gives us, listen to me, all God gives us is for the purpose of witnessing for Him and to His honor and to His glory. Do you know there's hardly any other word used even more, may not be another word used anymore in all the New Testament than the word witness. Witness. We place a lot of emphasis today in the court system on a witness. They did also in the New Testament day. So what is a witness? We might ought to understand what a witness is if we're called to be one. Amen? A witness is a person who has a personal experience and a knowledge of knowing something about something because they were there and they personally experienced and they can speak out of that knowledge of what they saw and what they heard. That's what a witness is. Well, parents are witnesses to our children. If we don't speak and teach our children out of some direct experiences that we've had, then we're going to fail. Teachers are witnesses. Teachers teach out of a personal experience and a personal knowledge of things that they have experienced that they pass on to their students. Preachers are witnesses. We're only to preach out of a knowledge and experience of things that we've heard and we've seen and we've experienced in our lives as well. Old Vance Havner, many years ago, he's gone to heaven now, used to say about preachers, a lot of preachers preach farther down the road than they've been. Amen? That's the truth. It really is. Well, everything in our lives will account for nothing if our lives are not shared from a being a witness of things we know, things we've seen, and things we've heard. He said, Paul, you're going to be a witness to all men everywhere. Well, when am I supposed to do this? Now. Where am I supposed to do this? Everywhere to all men. Witness begins now for you, Paul. Witness begins for us in our homes. Now, there's a touchy spot for anybody. You begin your witnessing in your home folk. They know you better than anybody else knows you. They know the ins about you. They know the outs. They know the ups. They know the downs. They know the good. They know the bad. And listen to me. Our families watch us more closely than you might think. Probably our families watch us more closely than the world. To be an effective witness in your home, you've got to have had the experience and the knowledge of the new birth. Our families look at us. They want to see if you've seen the vision or not. They want to know if you've heard the voice or not. They want to know what Christianity has meant to you, what kind of change it makes, if any, in your life. You see, our families watch us. I'll tell you something else. Our church family watches us too. To see if our walk and our talk coincide or contradict. The world watches us. Everywhere we go and all the things that we do, the world's watching us. They watch us to see if we're moral or immoral. They watch us to see if we're spiritual or whether we're unspiritual. They watch us to see if we're a hypocrite or not. They watch us. We've got a witness to our homes. We've got a witness to our fellow church members. We've got to live right and do right. And we've got a witness to the world, because many times they don't pick up the Word of God, but they watch you. They watch me. And all the world, the testimony of a Christian cannot be refuted. They can say what they want to about you or about me, but I'll tell you what they can't do. If they see that change in your life, they can't answer that. They can't refute that. I'm not the old man I used to be. Praise God, I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. You cannot refute the change in a person's life. I've had people ask me years ago, when I first got saved, Jim, what's happened to you? I had the glorious opportunity to tell them what's happened to me. I used to do construction many years ago, and there were rough men in construction, you know it. I've had some of the worst men I've ever met in my life, sinners, come up to me and ask me things like this. What makes you so different now? And I'll say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. I've been justified. I'm being sanctified. And one day, hallelujah, I'm going to be glorified on the other side. There's nothing you can do to stop that or change that. Amen? Amen? Yes. People want to know, what does Christ mean to you? Now, folks, listen to me carefully. A lot of folks are trying to live on a 30 or 40-year-old testimony. Now, you can't live on that. What the world wants to know is, what does Jesus mean to you today? What is going on in your life to show somebody else that Jesus is alive in you today? That's what they want to know. The greatest enemy that I know of to Christianity is this. For a person to profess to know the Lord and just profess that they believe the Bible and will stand up for the Bible, yet their lives prove them out to be a liar. That hurts Christianity worse than anything I know of today. Is Jesus alive in your life today? What's He doing for you today? How real is He to you today? What personal experience have you had lately with Jesus in your life? Well, God's plan for us, beloved, listen, is not happiness as such. God's plan for us is holiness, not just happiness. God's plan for us is helpfulness, not just happiness. But when you put holiness and you put helpfulness together, then happiness is going to result. Amen? It certainly will. Certainly will. So here it is for us today. To know God's will, do you know God's will for you? Secondly, to see the just and holy one, the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, to hear His voice speaking to you about God's will for your life. And then lastly, to show by the life that you live that Jesus is alive. He's alive in you and me. And no one can ever dispute or refute that. I want to close with this. Listen. People are reading you, whether you know it or not. They're reading me, and I know it. People are watching you as a Christian. It doesn't matter how many good things you do, for how many years you may do them, all the world's looking for in you and me is one blunder. That's right. And they'll never let you forget it. So listen, let's just not give an occasion. Amen? So you see, conversion, being saved, being born again, conversion demands commitment. It did with Paul. And we're no different than Paul, are we? No. It changed Paul's life from the Damascus Road experience till the day he met the Lord Jesus face to face. That's what it ought to do in your life and mine. Once I know His will, once I see Him, once I hear Him, and once I witness for Him to show others that He's alive in me, then that's a commitment that He's looking for from us. He's looking for that from the church. Every New Testament church, whether it's a Baptist church or not, that's what He's looking for in our lives. They're reading us. What are they hearing? What are they seeing in us? What are they saying about us? I want them to say about me, if nothing else than this, that He loves the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for showing us Your will. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to see You through the Scriptures and hear Your voice by the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, help us to serve You faithfully as Paul did. Maybe there's someone here, Lord Jesus, today that has never seen You or heard You, has never known Your will for their life. Your will is that they should not perish either, but that they should come to repentance. May they come today. And for we who know You, we've had the experience of hearing You, seeing You, knowing You. Lord, but we've not served You as we should and as we could. I pray the Holy Spirit would prick our heart as You pricked Paul on that day. That we make a new commitment this day as a church, as an individual, to serve You more faithfully. We pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen.